Our scripture today comes from the 12th chapter of Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return upon the wedding banquet, so that you may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I can't even remember how long ago it was, but I remember there used to be a cartoon, an animated show on TV, and it was called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. And it must have struck a nerve because it became quite popular, and I don't know if it's because how often that phrase was used in homes across the country. The funny thing is I really don't think that the father was all that scary a thing. It was the fact that the mom would say, wait till your father gets home, and you had to think about it all day long till he got there. Well, I think that is what happens when people read the scripture. They flip into this mindset that God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. What if he catches us doing something wrong? So people go to the scripture and they say, okay, what does it say? Good pleasure to give you the kingdom, sell your possessions, give alms, make purses that do not wear out, for where your treasure is. And they start to make a checklist. And they said, okay, I got that one. I got that one. I got that one. But when they get down on the bottom of the list and Jesus hasn't come back yet, they go, now what do I do? I don't know when he's coming. I can't remember what actress said this, but the classic line was, if I'd have known he was coming, I would have baked a cake. And we have this attitude that only if we knew God was coming, we'd be ready for him. We'd have the party ready. We'd have our church clothes on and be holding the Bible in our hand, and we would look the part. But you see, that's not the way it works. I'm going to make another plug. There's a show on TV called The Chosen. If you want to hear about the disciples, take a walk and see what happens. One of my favorite ones is he takes his elite, his James, John, and Peter, and they go into the garden, and he says, pray with me. And he comes back an hour later, and what are they doing? Sleeping. Yay, disciples. Give me hope. Could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? You see, that's what's in the back of our mind. One of the things that I had the opportunity to do is I had the opportunity to serve in the military. And one of the things that serving in the military does is it evaluates the things that you do well and
the things you don't do quite as well.
A lot of people feared push-ups and running and things like that. I maxed every PT test I ever took. I actually got the Fort Knox record on the obstacle course. I was an expert marksman. I was an expert grenadier. I made my drill sergeant laugh because when they took us out to the field, he came into my bunker, my trench, and he said, "Oh my God, we've got the Hilton here." Because I had carved out little spots for a latrine and a grenade chute and a place to set my rifle. I carved out a spot in the side so it would, and he says, "My God, you think you're going to live here?" But what they did is they started sending me to more and more schools and more training to see what I could and couldn't do. And they became more and more frustrated that this legal clerk could continue to pass and beat several of the people in the infantry and in the artillery until we got to what was called deprivation training. So what they did is they decided that we were done eating and sleeping. So I played along, I did what I could do, I was doing what everybody else was doing, and all of a sudden they had an attack! And they had us grab our weapons and try to hit the pop-up targets that were out in the range. I had a perfect score. I missed all 10. I couldn't see. I couldn't stand still. I couldn't make my hands do anything. It turns out that being deprived of the ability to eat and sleep, I became about as useless as a doorstop. This really didn't bother me all that much because in an S1 unit, in an office situation, these things don't happen to you very often. Until I got promoted to sergeant. And I said, "Boy, I'm a sergeant. I'm a non-commissioned officer now." And they said, "Congratulations, you're on the guard roster. Guess who the sergeant of the guard is this weekend?" Me. Guess what that means? You don't get to sleep. So I am the sergeant of the guard. We're in the middle of Fort Bragg. We're not in danger of anything. But I feel myself nodding off. And I'm shaking my head. And I'm doing everything I can. And the OD, the officer of the day, comes up behind me. And he goes, "You're not asleep, are you?" I said, "No, sir." He says, "If you're feel yourself getting asleep, you stand up because you cannot sleep standing up. If I catch you sitting down in that chair and you're asleep, you're going on report." A couple hours later, I feel myself slipping over the edge. So I stand up. And I take my weapon and I'm holding my weapon. And the next thing I know, this voice comes echoing, "Swanson, are you asleep?" And he is like this far from my face. And I take my weapon and I knock him onto his butt. I said, "No, sir, you told me it's impossible to sleep while you're standing up." He got a heck of a kick out of that. He says, "At least you can follow orders." But that story spread through the 18th Airborne Corps, and I became famous as the one guy who actually could sleep standing up. But you see, we get this idea that Jesus coming back is like the officer of the day trying to catch you sleeping, trying to catch you off your post, trying to catch you not prepared. Is that what the scripture says? The owner of Norris had known that the hour was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. Blessed are the slaves who the master finds alert when he comes. He will fasten his belt and have them sit down, and he will come and serve them. Does that sound scary? Jesus wants to come and serve you, invite you into the party. See, we got the wrong image of what Jesus coming back is supposed to be like. I actually think this is Jesus reaffirming what the priorities are. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. When they ask Jesus, what is the main thing? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your heart is on God, if your heart is on your neighbor, it doesn't matter when Jesus comes, does it? It's not a checklist to be done. It's keeping your heart in the right spot, the right place. If you can do that, it doesn't matter when he comes. When I was in camping ministry, it was always a lot of fun, and what we would do is we would have such a good time in the first couple weeks doing staff training that we almost resented the fact that the kids were going to come and mess up everything. And then the first few weeks, we would have so much fun that the weeks went by. And then we would get to this time of year right here. You get to the end of July and the beginning of August, and the humidity is 95%, and the hot sun is beating down on you, and you're desperately trying to hold on for one more week. And we would dig out a song in hopes that if we sang it, we might actually believe it. And the words went like this. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I'm alive, awake, alert. I'm alert, awake, alive. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. And we would have motions. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I'm alive, awake. And we would sing it. And the kids would laugh like crazy, but the kids' laughter would drive us just a little bit and would drag us through that week and put us out the other side. And I think in the same way, we need to remember how did the little kids say it? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, for they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus is not coming to point out your weaknesses. Jesus is not coming to keep you in fear. Jesus is coming to welcome you home. To say, I'm back. The one that you trusted in, the one that you waited on is here. And rather than live in dread, you can live alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Because you know the one that's coming back. You're not fearing him because you don't know him. You're welcoming him because you do. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we know there are many people out there who are terrified that they don't know the day nor the hour. Help us to share the good news that the God who's coming back doesn't come to catch us in a mistake, but invite us into a party, into a banquet, into a celebration with him, where he comes to serve us. And all God's people said,